comes the sun, little darling. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right. It's all right. Here comes the sun.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to Voices from the Frontlines on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 Ridgecrest and in China Lake, and at the world at kpfk.org. I am your co-host for Voices from the Frontlines, your national movement building show. I'm filling in for Eric Mann for the past 2 weeks. And we have a really exciting show lined up in today's show. We will have Professor Noelle Trent. She's the Director of Interpretation, Collections, and Education at the National Civil Rights Museum. Dr. Noelle Trent just wrote an important essay titled Thoughts on the Underground for the African American Intellectual History Society. In this piece, she's talking about this new show, Underground, that's now airing on WGN-TV Network. And it's really tracing the building of a movement from the ground up by black slaves in Georgia and in their 600-mile journey to freedom on the Underground Railroad. In our second segment, we're going to have Salim Muwakkil. He is a senior editor of In These Times to talk to us about his latest piece, In No Certain Term, UN Calls Out U.S. for a Lack of Reparations to African Americans, about this new preliminary report filed by the United Nations Working Group of Experts on People of African Descent and the growing reparation movement. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I've been a slave all my life, waiting to die, to live for a miracle. But I'm done waiting.
20 years I've been the master of this plantation, and I've not had one runaway.
Mama, you ever think about another life?
I've imagined thousands of different lives.
Our plan is simple. We got to get a group of us together. We figure a way off a master's land. We protect each other.
Our strength in numbers can work here. When we run, ain't no white man gonna be able to stop us.
Troublemaker, and you got an itch. You planning something?
I need to know now. Who's in? Who's out?
I know you was planning to run.
Now he's scared.
I own you!
We have to go. Now.
Just because we might know the way don't mean that we're going to get there. It's over 600 miles.
We're going to have to fight for every step.
You say any runaways around here?
You know I wouldn't tell you if I had.
So now we're getting white folks involved in this mess, Joe.
We can make a real difference.
Help me.
All that they hated more than a runaway slave is those that would dare aid it.
Run! I gotta do what I gotta do. Mess with my face, black in my veins. I gotta do what I gotta do. I pray to God, he never came. I'ma do me, I'ma do me. That's in my blood, I'll never change. This is the toast of the underdogs. Now we doing it our way.
You wanna go back? Then go. I ain't ready to give up yet. My plan works.
Funny thing about plans, they always changing.
Set a fire to it for my amusement.
Do whatever it takes to get her free.
We have to protect our cargo.
This is the toast of the underdogs. Now we doing it our way.
I want to be counted. It's our hands that built this country. Our blood that's running through the heart of it.
No! Ain't no going back. Not for any of us.
Light them up, light them up. Light them up, light them up.
Welcome to the underground.
And that right there, everyone, you were listening to a trailer for the WGN America Network show called Underground. It airs on Tuesdays, 8 p.m. It's going to air tonight. I somehow caught on it and can't really stop talking about it. Everybody, that I know I'm talking about this show. And of course, you know, as I said, we have Professor Noelle Trent. She's the director of interpretation, collections, and education at the National Civil Rights Museum. And she just wrote an important essay titled "Thoughts on Underground" for the African American Intellectual History Society. And welcome to the show, Noelle.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, Noelle, you know, I don't know how I got hip to this. I think it might have been, you know, Twitter, because everybody, you know, everybody does Twitter nowadays. And I was like, what, an underground show and a show about the movement of the Underground Railroad? I just couldn't really believe that that would be sort of a topic that would be on TV. And of course, without my own reservations about this could either go really well or it could go really bad. And just caught your own piece, which was called Thoughts on the Underground. It was about this show. And I wanted to read some sections for people, and then we can maybe part from there to have a conversation about this. So this is a really short essay that you wrote, and you know, I want to do some highlights here. This starts with the strength of the story is it brings modern historiography to life. Over the last few years, scholars have engaged in dialogue about the social, economic, and cultural aspects of antebellum America, especially the years leading up to the Civil War. Studies in American slavery have enhanced the perception of the slave by affirming their humanity, culture, and ability to maintain the community and family. In another part of the essay, you go, "Underground, beautifully and compelling, but communicates the complexity of slave life in America. The show's nuances contradicts the popular U.B. Phillips Gone with the Wind imagery of slavery. Each episode cleverly shatters aspects of the mythos surrounding slavery. The arguments of scholars like Vincent Harding, Sterling Stuckley, Catherine Clinton, Deborah Gray White, and others are integrated into the drama and form the three-dimensional developments of its characters. As historians, we should support the shows like Underground. Among ourselves, we may quibble at portrays and disputes aspect of the story, but we should publicly support any endeavor that breaks down misinterpretation of slavery. The current climate in our country makes arguments like slavery wasn't that bad, and slaves were happy, very attractive. Here at AAIHS, we counter those arguments by demonstrating the significance and contribution of those African-American historical actors and examine their multifaceted nature. The major challenge is distribute the information to the American public. Underground successfully aids in those efforts." Thanks for your piece. And I guess I wanted to part, as you wrote, and I know that you also just finished your dissertation, and how did you come into contact with the show, and what's your sort of take on what you've seen up to this point?
Well, you know, I've actually been sitting on Underground since October. I came to work at the National Civil Rights Museum in September, and leading up to our Freedom Award, we, WGN, came to the museum and hosted a special preview for some of our members. And so I had a meeting with some of the people, and initially when my coworker said, "Noelle, we have this show on the Underground Railroad. I want you to come and be a part of these meetings," I had the same reaction as you, like, okay, this could go either really well or really bad. And then they added, "And we want you to participate on a panel with the cast and crew." And I said, okay. So I watched it, and I was actually pleasantly surprised. Is it okay if I spoil a little bit? Because I know that we're getting into episode 3. So the opening sequence of the pilot episode, you see Aldous Hodge running through the woods, which I'm a big fan of his, and so that kind of already attracted me to say, okay, let's see where this goes. And so one of the things that I thought was interesting was the way in which they characterized enslaved people. And so as I watched that first episode a little bit more, I was like, okay, my skepticism is gone. And I feel like that show is really contributing a different dynamic into how we understand slavery. I think that 12 Years a Slave was an excellent movie. And it has a certain thing that it did really well. But I think people are tired with slavery of always being felt like you're being beaten over the head with the oppression and the pain, and it was a very difficult, and it's sometimes an uncomfortable subject to study, but on the same hand, there's this other aspect of these characters, that these are human beings, and there's a three-dimensionality to all of them, and that's what I think Underground kind of brings out. They call it an action thriller where slaves are the protagonist, and so all of a sudden, you have to step back and say, okay, this is interesting. I think that's what makes it such a compelling show, and why I've personally become such a big fan of it.
Just like you said, I think one is just the actors in this show. To me, both are doing some very brutal scenes. The first episode of the show, it is hard to watch because the full brutality of slavery is portrayed in so profound ways, both in its literal beating and chasing of people, to, you know, even the most subtle things, like in episode one, where the young boy is basically fanning this white woman and she can't stop staring,
mm-hmm.
right? And
mm-hmm.
and for her, obviously, there was a moment of epiphany for her of trying to do something to end it. You know, I guess in meeting the cast, how did they feel that responsibility of both trying to portray something that has always been so undermined in this country, or at the same time also trying to show the complexity of, to even survive, it meant in some ways you had to be an actor?
I think that the cast members that I met, and I believe I met Journey Smollett, Alano Miller, who plays Cato, Amira Vaughn, who plays Ernestine, and I might be missing someone I met. I think those are the three cast members that I met. And they seem to take their roles, on a certain level, they're very serious actors, very dedicated to their craft. And so you can see that in any of the episodes. I also took them on a tour of the museum. And that tour of our museum, we really do place this culture of resistance that we see beginning as soon as people of Africans land in the New World, and they are part of this enslaved system, and we have chattel slavery established. We see resistance happening, and we even see it on the boats. And so we talk about that concept of resistance from the beginning of our exhibitions here at the museum, and that kind of winds itself in. And I think that based on their reaction to what they saw in the museum, they could kind of see the things that their characters were doing were mirrored in what they saw in the exhibit. But each of them, from if I can recall correctly from the panel, they do look at they did an intentional character study of each of them, and I think that's what you understand and appreciate. They appreciate this resistance, but they also treated them as three-dimensional characters in the same way that perhaps if you were doing any of the theatrical classics, whether you're doing Antigone or Caesar or any of Shakespeare's characters, you know, there's a certain level for actors of how do you build this character out? How do you portray this? How does your character inhabit their clothing, their being, their environment? And sometimes the writing for slave movies and miniseries has not allowed the actors to fully bring all of those nuances that they would like to bring to the character out. And I think that Underground provides them a better opportunity. Also, the cinematography of the series is very important. So, you know, you are right that it is uncomfortable, it's brutal, but you don't see it right away. For instance, they zoom in on where someone's eyes are looking, and then they pan out so you can see what the whole scene is. One of the scenes that I love in the TV series is any of the domestic scenes, any of the house scenes. I'm a big Downton Abbey fan, and so in Downton Abbey, the dinner, you know, it's very British, very upright, and how the servants move is very coordinated, very sophisticated. You see the same thing happening in episodes 1 and 2 in any of the domestic scenes. But what we also recognize is that tension, and that tension is shown through a nod of Ernestine's head, or of how Rosalie changes where she's looking, or just very subtle things. And I think that that's what slavery was about, and we don't fully appreciate that. I think it's very easy for a 21st century mind to look back and say, I wouldn't do that, how could they bear that? But those subtleties are part of the survival. So when Rosalie is getting beaten, everyone sees what's happening. They understood why she did what she did to take the burden from her brother, but they also couldn't react. And so that subtle exchange between her and Noah, Aldous Hodges' character, was part of that relationship. exchange that would happen with a lot of people within a slave community, that yes, what's happening to you is disheartening, but I understand what you're going through, and maybe later we can talk about it, but they couldn't talk about it then, and sometimes they couldn't talk about it later, so sometimes those looks and those nods were a form of communication in and of themselves.
We're speaking to Noelle Trent. She's the Director of Interpretation, Collections, and Education at the National Civil Rights Museum, and she wrote an essay called Thoughts on Underground, you know, taking on the new show WGN America TV network called Underground. Again, if people haven't watched it, I really recommend it. It's airing tonight on WGN America. It airs every Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Really an incredible cast, and it really is showing the journey of a movement being built up from the ground up by African black slaves in Georgia in their 600-mile journey to freedom. You know, one of the things, myself as an organizer, and again, there's no way we can even fathom living under those conditions, and given the repression, given who can you really trust. But as an organizer, one of the things that I did really appreciate, it was when Aldis Hodge, and this is the actor, and he's the main character, Noah, he's really the sort of kind of shot caller, ringleader, what have you, is talking to this other young man named Henry, right, played by this young man named Renwick Scott. And they're sort of both kind of sizing up, thinking, who can be in our team? And one of the things that any organizer is always doing is, what's the strength that somebody brings? What are their you know, character strengths, and what are even their character faults? And I thought that was such a beautiful scene. Again, the profound sort of analysis that they had of each person, of like, this person might snitch on this person might not. This person comes with the strength of being able to build something. This person is, you know, stronger than like 10 people, so, you know, has to be in our team. You know, I guess, you know, I know that you have studied this. And in some ways, you know, and I know that this is probably a prototype of many of the important, you know, leaders who both led either rebellions of, you know, African slaves, or people who were directly involved in the Underground Railroad. How is that capturing in reality of what most of these people made those decisions in that time period? How do you sort of portray that there's some fidelity to that moment, and how much of it is just some of the Hollywood sort of twist that they're playing with it?
Well, I think part of it is human nature. You know, if you're going to organize any resistance against a repressive regime, you're going to size up who's going to be your frontline people and then who's going to be part of the inner circle. So I don't necessarily think that is exclusive to the African American civil rights struggle. I think that you're going to find that within any group. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Cesar Chavez, you know, as he's putting together his group, he's analyzing, okay, who would be the best group, best people out of this farm workers thing to help us move things. There's a reason why he works with Dolores Huerta versus someone else. And so I think we see that's kind of how we do things as human beings, and how we want to leave an effective any sort of business or whatever. But the other thing that I think was interesting that I think Underground gets right is the fact that abolitionism is not fully appreciated at the time. They are considered the radicals, and there's a high level of danger. And so in episode 2, you see William Still, his office is basically in one of those working hotels, you know, the ones where you kind of have to pay by the hour sort of situations, you know, and so it shows you that he can't even be in the best offices in town. But the fact that he's harassed by law enforcement or people who are slave catchers, you know, that's not a pretty job. And a lot of abolitionists were jumped, attacked, and killed. And so it's very easy for us as 21st century individuals to say, oh, I would have been against slavery, absolutely, and I would have helped slaves escape. But the fact that the show shows how dangerous that was, and that even if a slave ran away from your house or something like that, the slave might get away, but then you're still implicated. And how would you live your life in your community, knowing especially 1857 as we get the Dred Scott case decided, and this is post the Fugitive Slave Act, which ramps up the penalties for assisting runaways, that you figure out what are you going to do. I mean, at the end of the day, people still have families and they have a need to survive. And so people are negotiating these complicated situations. And so I think that's what Underground gets right. I don't feel yet that they've gone too far and Hollywoodized anything too much. You know, the music, I think that's what makes the series attractive, that you kind of have a modern musical background to these historical situations. But that's really not any different from many of the shows and movies that we've seen. I think it makes it more attractive, and I don't know if people necessarily would appreciate metered hymns or really slow spirituals like they sang in the 19th century. So I'm interested to see where it goes, because I think once we get to them escaping, that's where we're going to see a little bit more historical fiction in terms of explosions being bigger than what we probably would think they would be and that sort of thing. But characterizing how serious being an abolitionist was, I think that was right on, as well as that assessment of who do you work with. Because running away, that's an extreme case, and it actually was a rarity. Most people stay on the plantations and figure out other ways to survive, to actually physically take your freedom with your legs, self-emancipate, is a big deal. And so if you're going to do this venture, if you're going to travel 600 miles, you need to make sure that the people who are with you are folks who are going to make it with you to the end. And honestly, not everyone's going to make it to the end. So I'm interested to see what happens by the end of the season as to what characters actually decide to run away and who actually survives the journey.
We're speaking to Noelle Trent. She's Director of Interpretation Collections Education at the National Civil Rights Museum. We're talking about Underground, the WGN America TV network show that airs on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. You know, I think the thing that you just raised for me in terms of just the context of the time period that the show is portraying, some years right before the sparking of the Civil War and the ramp up of the slave catchers going into trying to look for fugitive slaves, which really marks, again, at least for myself, some sense of the interpretation of that that's also the one of the origins of policing in this country. And in some ways, you know, that also brings us to today, right? Why this show seems so important in this sort of historical moment where we're living in sort of a two moments of extreme. You know, on one hand, really the reinvigoration, even though in some ways there was always a movement to sort of address police violence and mass incarceration. And I know that one of the creators is John Legend, who's doing a lot of work out there, both as an artist, but also as an activist to raise this issue. And on the other hand, you know, we also have the sort of the spewing of really hateful, you know, outright sort of racist sort of attacks out there by in the presidential elections. What's your take about how this sort of is such an important show in this time period of these two extremes?
Okay. I just want to offer two corrections. Mm. John Legend's actually one of the executive producers. Okay. The show's creators are Misha Green and Joe Pekaski, and the show airs on Wednesdays, the East Coast and Central Time. It's 10 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central. I'm not sure how that works out for you West Coasters. But, yeah, that's Wednesday nights. I think that's what one of the commentaries of the show is, to look at how people are choosing to resist the society they're in and the methods that they do in that. So I think this time where we have this Black Lives Matter and we have pushback against some of the things that we see happening, it's demonstrating to people that this spirit of resistance, this isn't, you know, people cite what they're doing today and they say, oh, we're trying to mirror the movements that we saw in the 1960s and the 1970s. And that's true, but we see these movements of people asserting their rights and their equality earlier than that, and especially in the 19th century. With African Americans, we see it both on the slave plantations and abolitionists in the Southwest area as part of the country, part of Mexico becomes incorporated into the United States. We see that there are Chicano groups advocating to maintain their property rights. They lose their property rights. They're advocating to maintain some of their abilities to and their citizenship. We see that among American Indians in the 19th century. And so what this show demonstrates is that there are these earlier ties, but they can inform how you operate. I also think that sometimes people think that protests and movements just seem to happen. You know, like you just put together a march. You know, you just call up a bunch of people and that happens. What we're showing is that there actually is a lot of thought and there's a methodology to doing this resistance thing. You know, you just don't pop in. You may, a protest may explode or come to fruition in a particular moment. But then how do you sustain that to create a tangible change within society? And so I think that's urging that, but you also don't have to wait for a leader. That is something that the everyday person, you can do. And your actions, they can be big and grand, but they can be subtle actions as well. And that can be anything for us today, as simple as choosing where you spend your money. Which corporations, which businesses do you choose to support, and which businesses do you not choose to support based on their activities and your morality stance? I mean, those are things that you can do to impact the system and urging people to do so as well. In terms of your point on policing, we see real strict policing efforts, particularly racialized policing, once slavery really gets firmly established in this country. And so pre-Civil War, it's slave codes. Post-Civil War, it's black codes, you know. And it's these things very specifically targeted to the African-American community. And in some areas where you don't have a high population of African-Americans, it goes to whoever else is the other in that community. And unfortunately, you would think in the 21st century, we're 2016, maybe these things would go away, but we're seeing that that is not the trend. So do I hope and believe that this thing could be dismantled? Absolutely. Do I believe that there are great law enforcement officers out there and there are good people on the force? Absolutely. But there is an issue that needs to be addressed. And what we're seeing and what Underground kind of illuminates in some respect is that this is a pretty entrenched thing, and it's not as simple as someone is wrong. We see Christopher Maloney, who is the slave catcher, and if you know him on Law & Order as mm-hmm. Lieutenant Stabler, he's classically the good guy, right? Mm-hmm. He's not so good in this. But we see that he's got some family issues, some other things, and while you might not agree with his stance, there's a little bit more empathy. So I don't want to excuse bad behavior by bad police officers and some of these bad, these unfortunate trends that we see in so many of these instances. But it does present to us that as we are examining this problem, as we are choosing to deal with this issue, perhaps we view those people who are in opposition to us as three-dimensional characters. And in doing that, we can have a conversation and engage in activities that would transform rather than polarize.
We're speaking to Noelle Trent. We're talking about the show Underground on WGN America TV. Both sort of, on one hand, really the excitement of the show itself because of the high quality of how people are delivering, you know, a piece of art. On the flip side, also a really important sort of time capsule of a history that in some ways has not been fully often fully portrayed, or often, you know, not even that profoundly looked at in terms of trying to really look at, you know, one of the last things that I want to sort of end with you, and I think you're absolutely right. You know, one of the things that in our work, you know, we've been organizing young people around what people have talked about as the school to prison pipeline. Obviously, from our perspective, police shouldn't belong in the schools. That's just the last 30, 40 years of that sort of issue of seeing police in our schools, or the use of the criminal justice system inside our school setting. Or even again, you know, when we took on a big fight here in Los Angeles around young people getting ticketed as they were walking into school. And, you know, the city was using sort of a daytime curfew law. And, you know, part of what we have tried to do in our own movement, while obviously it is very easy for us to look at the 60s and 70s as an important period in time where a lot of our people can understand their history, we did attempt to try to make those sort of linkages to what you said, both the Black Code period right after the Civil War, to best grasp how do we understand that this is an ongoing system that obviously at moments we can transform it, at times we can reform it, and sometimes we can actually even transform it in such a profound way that it changes direction. But I think that that is sort of the importance of the show of some ways, you know, I can give a long, you know, a long lecture or write a cool little flyer that I think is out, but you know, I reach maybe 1,000 people. In this way, this show has the possibility of reaching so many more people that I think hopefully begins an important dialogue among all of us.
Oh, absolutely. I think what's most important about this show is that it shows people from many different sides, and that we all have the personal thing. We all have an exterior motivation. We all have the facade that we present to the public. And so these actions that we see by individuals sometimes aren't so simple. And so what I hope that this gets people to do is not only rethink their concept of slavery and what 19th century America was, but maybe rethink how we examine and interact with each other, particularly as we're trying to move progress forward. How it's not just how we interact with the people who have the same perspective as us, but how do we work with those who are in opposition? And even how do we choose to resist some of these policies and things that we see that we don't agree? And it's great to want the great, flashy change, but what are the subtle things? And I think that that's what makes the show compelling. Also, it's just great TV. And I will be live tweeting and enjoying it on Wednesday night with everybody else.
Thanks. That's Noelle Trench. She's the director of interpretation, collections, and education at the National Civil Rights Museum. We've been, you know, nerding out on Underground, really an important show that everybody should be watching. It's really showing a movement being built by the ground up by black slaves in Georgia and their 600-mile journey. And I'm really excited to continue this conversation. Maybe, Noelle, as sort of the weeks go by, maybe we'll have you on back and we can nerd out a little bit more about sort of how this show is going and, you know, like you're saying, who survives, who's going to make the major... There's going to be major twists and turns, as you could see through some of these early trailers show. So I'm really both excited about the show, and hopefully, of course, that a lot of people can tune in and look at it and share it and put out in the world that people should be watching this show. So thanks again for being on the show.
Oh, thank you. And definitely, I would love to come back.
Right on.
Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right. It's all right. Here comes the sun, little darling. Here comes the sun.